Welcome to Intentional Living Center. Today we're talking about spiritual differences that occur in marriage. And I wrote in my book, Star for Affection, that there are four kind of areas or ways of looking at problems when you're not on the same page spiritually with your spouse. There are those who are spiritual adversaries, maybe that's you, where you just not only don't get along, but you're at war spiritually. There's spiritual tolerance, where you're not on the same page, but at least you get along with each other. There's spiritual cooperation, and then ultimately spiritual oneness. So when you get to a place in your marriage where you're not on the same page, what do you do as a believer? What have you done? What works? We're going to give you some intentional steps today from the Intentional Living Center.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the president of Family Life Communications and your advocate for the family. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your faith, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Intentional Living Center today. This is such a spiritual question when we think about not being on the same page spiritually, because it's at the essence and the core of who we are as a person. And if you know Christ personally and you have a relationship with Christ and you're growing spiritually, and then this person that you're married to that is the most important person in your life, the closeness of intimacy emotionally and physically, and you want the spiritual part but it doesn't occur, what do you do when you're divided on your faith? You're not on the same page. I was reading a statistic this morning, 56 million Americans, according to Pew Research, are nuns, not Catholic nuns, but N-O-N-E-S, nuns, meaning they have no religious affiliation in this country now. And this is a growing issue in our country. And when you get into a marriage relationship and you're a spiritual person growing spiritually and you have a worldview that includes your relationship with Christ and your spouse doesn't, it creates a problem. So we want to give you some steps towards spiritual closeness if your spouse is not a believer. But I'd ask you to call and maybe share with others listening, maybe others who haven't gotten married yet, how this has created a problem for you personally and in your marriage, or some steps you have taken to be intentional on getting to the same page and how God has worked in your marriage. We'd love to hear your stories today, okay? 888-888-1717 is the number. Just before we get to those calls, let's continue to pray for all of our friends and Christian people and families in Nepal. They were hit again with another earthquake. I think it was over 7.4. With a report that another 48 people have died, at least another 1,200 have been injured. And one of our own staff, my assistant, is in Nepal with her family. Let's pray for the Christians in Nepal, as well as across Texas and Arkansas and parts of the country that have been faced with tornadoes over the last few days, where we're getting reports of many injuries, destroyed property, and people's lives that have been taken as a result. So we pray for those of you who've been under the weather, literally, as well. Today, talking about marriage, and in particular the spiritual aspect of when you and your spouse are not on the same page, I can't think of anything that's more difficult than having a strong spiritual life, a growing life, and not be able to share that with the person you share everything else with in your marriage. Talk to us. What is a question you have? Maybe something you have learned that has worked for you in terms of developing strength, being a person maybe not on the same page. How have you taken care of yourself? Or how has God moved in your marriage? 888-888-1717. And just before we get to your calls here, just a reminder that this is the final week for early registration for the upcoming Family Business Conference. This is for families and business. And maybe you work in a family business. Maybe it's mom and dad working together. Maybe it's the kids. You have a business that's a brand new, just getting started, or you've been in business for a long time. We have a very unique Christian-based, intentional living-based family business conference, May 28 and 29 at the Biltmore in Phoenix. And we've got great registration. It's been just a great time of people from around the country one-year-old businesses to 100-year-old businesses. We've got moms and dads coming, couples coming together. We've got singles coming, representing the family. We've got whole families coming. And if you haven't registered, this is the week to do it. Early registration. We need to get a count for food and all that kind of thing. And it's going to be a great conference with some wonderful teachers. You can check it out. I encourage you to go read about it at familybusinessconference.com. Familybusinessconference.com. Today's the day to get registered, okay?
Hi, my name is Tammy. Well, in my situation, we were both believers, but we did not serve God. Either I was not on board or he was not on board. For various reasons, God was not a priority in our life. And we've been married 30 years. And so since we've been on the same page the last 3 years, it's just amazing how God's been blessing us, taking care of us and all our needs. And it's just amazing the beautiful things that we've been going through and the peace that we've had in our marriage. I wish I would have done that years ago, and maybe a lot of things would have been avoided, but we just never were on the same page, even though we were raised in church. You know, I was working on a Sunday, and I didn't want to go to church. I was too tired, or there was always something in the way. So we both buckled down and decided to do this together.
Hey, listen, life is very short. I challenge you. If you're listening today, you don't know Christ, you're not on the same page with your spouse, but you're just tuning in and hear this topic and you're interested because you're married to one of those, you know, you're married to one who is a follower of Christ and not so much for yourself, and they drive you nuts. And let me just say this. Let me say this to you if you're a Christian and you're married to a person who's not, or not an active follower, not really practicing their faith. You know, you're not the Holy Spirit in their lives. Your job is not to nag them into a faith. Your job isn't to nag them into a relationship with Christ. That is not what we're called to do. But I would say to you, if you're not a follower of Christ and your spouse is, the quality of your relationship, I mean, just the relationship that you have, just getting along in life, a lot of it has to do with how adversarial you choose to be toward what they believe. And I talk about these four levels of a relationship, and one of them is becoming spiritual adversaries. There are some, and maybe it's you, you're just at war with each other spiritually. Not only don't you believe the same thing, but you're going to make a point of making sure that that becomes a point in your marriage. And you're openly and critically resistant to the spiritual needs of your spouse, or the opposite, you're just being a spiritual pain in the neck to your spouse, as opposed to backing off and praying and let God do his work in each of our lives individually. I would say, if you're spiritual adversaries, you're paying a high price in every area of your life, in the bedroom, in your relationship, in communication, with your kids. It's not worth it. There's another level of spiritual tolerance, and these are people, couples who tolerate each other. They're unwilling to really understand each other, where they're coming from, but it's not openly resistant. You just sort of tolerate your spouse. And I would challenge you. I just want to speak for a moment to those who would be honest enough to say, you know, I'm not the Christian in the family. I'm not the follower of Christ. I don't, you know, I'm one of the nuns who you just talked about, the N-O-N-E-S's. You know, I really don't have any affiliation or really not all that interested. I would ask you as a human being just to look into the eyes of your spouse and say, it's important to them. And because I love them, because I want the best for them, even though I don't understand it, don't agree with it, I think they're crazy, I'm going to love them through that. And I'm going to care enough to try to find out why that's so important to them. Why is God real to them? Why has it made a difference in their life? Maybe you just don't buy it. Maybe it's hard for you to have the faith. Maybe you're even jealous of the faith your spouse has. You know, you look at their faith and say, boy, I wish I could have that faith. To stop and really be interested enough to grow and understand why that's so important to them. Just a couple thoughts to those who are listening who are not, you know, you're not a Christian yourself today, or really not following your faith or a faith. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let me get Tracy on the line. Hi there, Tracy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. We're really just talking about not being on the same page spiritually. What's been your journey down this path?
Well, I was just saved in September at the church that I started attending. And my husband, I did not know, was actually a Christian, but he didn't practice the Christian beliefs that I viewed a Christian should practice, such as reading the Bible. He prayed before dinner and before bed. But now that I've been saved, I've really thrown myself into church. I'm on fire for God. I want to know as much as I possibly can. And I actually just recently looked into going to Spring Arbor College to get a degree for Christian counseling. And my husband is very supportive of all this, but it seems like we're just on different levels with God. And he said he's comfortable where he's at with God. And I said, how can you be comfortable? Because shouldn't your love for God keep growing? We just had this conversation the other night. So it's just amazing that you would put this on the radio, because we've had a breakdown in communication. And I mean, I was to the point where I was thinking maybe we should do a trial separation, but you know, we talked
because
about
of this
it. And what's that?
Because of this?
Just because of, I feel like he's going a different way spiritually than I am, and I don't expect people to follow me. You know, if he doesn't want to go down the spiritual path with me, because he's already been down it, you know, that's fine. But I want him to understand.
I hear your heart, Tracy. I do. I hear your heart. And you're excited what God's doing in your life and the Spirit of God moving in your life. But let's get real biblical for a moment here. You know, the Bible is really clear that if a Christian's married to a non-Christian, they're not to separate from them. That's what the Bible teaches. In other words, we don't have a, quote, grounds for leaving or separating or divorcing because I have a spouse who's on a different page spiritually than I am. Now, it does say biblically that if your spouse leaves, that, you know, you let them go. You don't have to pursue in terms of that. And so you can study that. The Bible's pretty clear on that. But the second thing, Tracy, is, you know, I was talking about these different levels. Sounds like you guys are at this level of sort of spiritual cooperation. There's a sense of kind of mutual respect and a willingness to understand each other. But your spouse, your husband's in a different place spiritually. And your role is not to be the Holy Spirit, Tracy. That's not your job, to be the Holy Spirit or try to convince him or convict him or to, you know, make him, quote, grow up spiritually. Your job is to love him and grow in your own life. But I think you got to get biblical in terms of what the Bible teaches, and let God work in your life. He can work in your life, and you can continue to grow and be excited, and let your husband see this realness in your life. It would be great if the two of you could get into some real practical counseling about communication and so on. But I would move slowly and get some good counsel before you take the step of saying, hey, we're going to separate because we're not on the same page spiritually.
Right, and I did mention that to him because our church does offer marriage counseling, and we actually went to a marriage rendezvous class at our church, and it was really great. And, you know, we talk about making changes because we both have to change. It's not just him. It's not just me. It's both of us. And I'm not perfect. I'm a born-again Christian, so all this is really new to me, and I pray about this every night, and that he becomes a spiritual leader in our home. And, you know, I mean, we've both definitely changed, but I think I've changed definitely because I wasn't born and raised in a Christian home. So all this is
good
new to me, where he was brought up as a Catholic.
Well, Tracy, listen, as you grow spiritually, let the Holy Spirit grow in your life. Get some women around you who are godly women. Maybe find a Christian counselor, get into a good church, and just start to grow. Let the wisdom grow in your life. Don't overreact toward your marriage in terms of frustration that he's not where you want him to be spiritually. You weren't there a few months ago. You weren't there a year ago. God moves in each of our lives in his own way, in his own way. And I think one of the greatest gifts we can give to each other, Tracy, is a lot of grace and patience, and then personally growing in our own lives and allowing God to do his work in our lives individually. I think that's a key. We're going to be praying for you, Tracy, and I'm glad you called. I really do. Hang on. I want to have Sally send you a copy of my book, Star for Affection. It's a good, solid marital book on what a Christian marriage looks like and God's intention for marriage. There are two kinds of tripwires I'm going to talk about. One is a tripwire that's external, things that happen outside of us that just happen as a result of the dates on the calendar or situations that we have really no control over, but boom. God intends for them to be used in our life. There's another set of tripwires or things that happen inside of us, emotionally, relationally, and so on, that I think that we can use. The number one tripwire I think as Christians we need to have is communion. That's kind of strange, thinking about that. Every month, maybe in your church, you have communion. Some churches, every week, you have communion. Some are more formal, some are less formal. But you think about the fact that Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, brought to our awareness that we should never forget coming together as believers for communion.
That's an excerpt from the teaching this month for all of our members on tripwires. And I talk about the number one tripwire in life should be a communion. I'm thinking, like you heard me say, what does that mean? You know, when you participate in communion, there needs to be a time of repentance, a time of introspection, as the Bible teaches. And I hope as you participate in communion in your church, that or as you stop and just reflect, let it be a tripwire to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal in your life what's going on. I go on to talk about other very practical tripwires in your life that can really reveal and help you grow in your life. And so, anyway, monthly members, watch for it. Teresa just joined us recently here in the last few days from Alabama, and here's Elliot from Macon, Georgia, two new members. Thank you for becoming a part of the ongoing team. But Dawn, you're here because we have something very special this month that we'd like to make available to all new members who join us in support of the ministry, but also those who would share in a gift to help us, a single gift, to help us with the ministry as well.
Right. It's called What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave. It's a teaching DVD from Dr. Randy that will help you really sort of get behind your child's eyes, understand their behavior for a number of reasons, and because I understand that children do misbehave from time to time.
Yeah, it's sort of universal. And there is a reason. You know, when we study human behavior, we understand that there's a purpose behind our behavior. I mean, there's a purpose of what we see going on in the streets of America today, what goes on in your homes with your kids. You know, why do kids act up? Why does one child act up and another not act up? What's the purpose? What we call it, the levels of misbehavior. And I talk about what motivates your child to misbehave on this DVD. And as you mentioned, Dawn, we'd love to get this into the hands of our listeners and friends this month.
That's right. If you can become a member with your monthly gift of support, we'll send that out to you. You'll also receive the Tripwires teaching CD that you heard a moment ago, in addition to the future monthly CDs, coaching CDs from Dr. Randy. But if you can't become a member, consider sharing a generous single gift today, and we'll get that DVD, What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave, out to you right away. Just go to our website at theintentionallife.com or give us a call, 888-888-1717.
Indeed. Thank you for standing with us. God bless you for helping make intentional living possible.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Coming up, Dr. Randy's got more to help you be intentional for your faith. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Proverbs 15:22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." When you attend the Thrive Conference for Families and Business, May 28th and 29th, you'll have the rare opportunity to learn firsthand from industry experts from family companies like the Ping Corporation.
Not only will you hear their stories of finding joy and building a legacy, but you'll also meet other Christian family business owners, godly men and women just like you, with whom you can build powerful networking relationships.
Whether you're already in a family business or interested in learning how to get started, Dr. Randy Carlson invites you and your whole family to the Thrive Conference for Families and Business, May 28th and 29th at the beautiful Biltmore Resort in Phoenix. Go to familybusinessconference.com.
Remember, seating is limited and the early bird discount ends May 15th. So register now. That's familybusinessconference.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Join us for this life-changing, limited seating conference. Register now at familybusinessconference.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, the five essentials for intentional living are faith, finances, relationships, work, and health. And if you're like me, you probably need to be more intentional in at least one of them. For instance, I struggle with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, more than one, okay? And I've got good news. Join the Intentional One Thing Challenge today and make an essential your one thing. Your life could radically change. Go to theintentionallife.com/one thing. Randy.
Yeah, thank you, Kurt. And we all struggle, as you said, Kurt, in one of these areas of life. And we do provide the Intentional One Thing Challenge online. It's a free course that you can take. It's a four-part video series, each of them very brief, because we know life is fast today. We're not going to sit around for an hour, go through a class. They're all about 8 or 9 minutes long, and they're very specific, talking about goal setting in lesson one, talking about developing habits in lesson two. Lesson three focuses on roadblocks, the emotional roadblocks, bad behavior, you know, our thinking, so on, the roadblocks to keeping us from accomplishing goals and habits. And then how to finish strong is lesson four. You can go through the lessons in less than an hour, and they're there for you. They're free of charge. We've put our effort and time into this class as a way of saying we love you guys and we want to help you. Over 46,000, approaching 47,000 people have viewed some or all of the course, and it's available for you. Here's what you do. You go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, which, by the way, is sort of the centerpiece. It's the hub of all the things, our family business conference information, our classes, and so on. But right at the top, you'll see the it says the Intentional One Thing Challenge, and you can click on there and take the class. It's there for you. Okay, we'd love to hear from you. Today, we're focusing on lack of spiritual oneness when there's a division in your marriage. We know God's ultimate plan is for us to be on the same page, but when we're not, and the reality is many aren't, how do you do? You know, how do you handle that? What do you do? Janice is on the line in Michigan, wants to join in discussion on this. Janice, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your call. Go right ahead.
I am married to a retired Army soldier.
Mm-hmm.
We'll celebrate 45 years on the 18th of this month, next week.
Uh-huh.
he served in Vietnam, 2 different tours. He has PTSD. He has very, very low self-esteem. When we were dating, I've known him since we were in junior high, and he came in from country school. He would go to church with me. He went to one Baptist church, I went to the other, and so he started going to my church. But, you know, since he's been in the military, he had become an alcoholic, which he put the bottle down when we adopted our 2 youngest children. So he no longer is a drinker. He still smokes. But he's so backslidden, he will not go to church with me. He says, you know, people at the church are hypocrites. And he just, you know, now he did profess to be a Christian, but he said, you know, I've denounced everything that I've claimed for Christ. And
yeah.
I said, wow, that's really a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
I said, just, you know, how do you, you know, I'm born again. How do you become unborn again? You know, how do you backslide so much that, you know, you've accepted Christ, you're one of his children. I could not denounce my mother and not become her child, you know?
Well, Janice, you're raising a very interesting theological question that we could bring our theologians in from the Calvinist camp and from the Armenian camp about eternal security and so on. But without going into the depth of that discussion in a minute that I have left here, let me just point out the fact that the Scripture is very clear in many, many places in the New Testament that the evidence of our faith, which is what we're looking for, the evidence of our faith will show up in how we behave, how we respond to each other. Is there growth in our life? Is there change in our life? I'm less concerned about what a person tells me than what they show me. And I think that's true of our kids as well. You know, it's not what we tell our kids, it's how they respond and how we respond as a human being. Your job, again, Janice, is to pray for your husband, love him, respect him, and then grow in your own faith. Let God grow in your life. And I encourage people to get our eyes off of another person. Get our eyes off of what our spouse is not doing that we think they should be doing. And keep the eyes clearly on who we are in our own growth. That is really what it means to me, to be intentional. I think it answers many of the questions that we see coming in on the phone today. That we get the eyes off of another person, keep the eyes on ourselves, and grow in faith internally in our relationship with Christ.
Colossians 3:23 tells us to work at whatever we do as though we're working for God rather than people. And Mike Miller says that goes for everybody at the office, including the boss.
I think also, as we contribute in our own organizations, God calls us to give our best, but God calls us to make it a form of worship, the way that we work. I think that's important to know that, you know, this thought of what energizes you at work is not only something that, you know, we hear about in secular publications, but also from a faith-based perspective. I believe that's what God calls us to do as leaders and owners of companies, is to bring the best out in our people.
Mike is with Forte Consulting and says a boss can make all the difference at work by focusing on strengths instead of weaknesses. That's one of the things he'll be sharing as part of the Thrive Conference for Family Businesses, which will be in Phoenix later this month. All you need to know at familybusinessconference.com. For Intentional Living, I'm Dennis Hutchinson.
Very good. Thank you, Dennis. And Mike is going to be there, and he's a great guy. He's got wonderful content as he talks about really encouraging the best, getting the best out of your employees, which includes yourself. And he'll be there and leading one of the workshops, along with many others on topics of succession planning, financial planning, estate planning, the healthcare laws, communication and marriage, setting a vision for the future. I get to teach on the topic of thriving and loving your family and setting a strategy for the future. We're going to have a great conference. Don't miss out. Again, this is the early registration week, cut off this week for early registration so we can get a count of who's coming. Check it out. Get registered today at familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com, okay? And many are registering. Got people from all over the country coming and want you to be a part of it. What motivates your child to misbehave? It's a good question. And that's a question we'll answer on an upcoming program. See you next time.